Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Terry and I, this time of year, watch a lot of basketball. And you can see this on junior high level. You can see this on high school level. You watch it on college on TV. It doesn't matter what level of ball you are watching, because the reaction plagues all of us. A player misses a shot that he shouldn't have taken, or throws the ball to the other team on a real dumb pass, or makes whatever foolish mistake, and you can watch the sin nature immediately. He makes a dumb pass, and first thing he's going to do is go foul. I mean, you can just watch it. As fast as I can, I'm mad, I'm going to run down the court and foul somebody. Now, I mean, you get the ball stolen from you, and so you're going to run and foul. The title of the message today, in your life, don't go from bad to worse. Don't go from bad to worse. And this seems to be the way many people live their life. Their life goes from bad to worse to worser. For those of you who are not very learned, if you'll stay in this church, I'll teach you some words that you don't know. I'll help your vocabulary. One bad decision leads to a worse decision. We've watched this in people's lives. You watch this in people's lives all the time. We had a problem, and then their life just went in a downward spiral, just worser and worser and worser and worser. I want to talk today about not allowing yourself to turn a bad decision into a worse decision. We're this year getting stronger and stronger. And when we make a bad decision, and I won't ask for a show of hands, because we all do, and we all do very regularly, don't run out and make a worse decision. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. You won't be surprised to find out the Bible addresses this tendency of our sin nature. Genesis chapter 4, life under the old covenant was quite different. The penalty for sin is death. Genesis 2:17, very clear. The penalty for sin, the wages of sin, is death. Under the new covenant, we know Jesus paid that penalty of sin for us by His death. But life under the old covenant, that penalty was never paid for. It was a continual covering. It was a continual making atonement for the sin by the substitute sacrifice of a lamb. God showed this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, whenever they sinned and found themselves to be naked, God clothed them with animal skin. Now, you don't take a skin off of an animal without death. So God was showing how the death of an animal will cover sin. That was known. The death of an animal was the covering for sin. Let's read Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam had relations with the wife Eve, and she became pregnant. And she gave birth to Cain, and she said, "With the Lord's help, I've produced a man." Later she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel brought some of the gift of the best portion of the firstborn of the lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but He did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry. He looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look dejected?" All right, Abel brings the firstborn lamb. Now, Cain, instead of taking some of his carrots and lettuce and trading them for a lamb and then bringing the lamb like he was clearly instructed to do so, Cain decides he'll just bring a head of lettuce or cabbage to God. And God doesn't accept that, because it takes death, the shedding of the blood, to cover sin. Cain made an obvious to all a bad decision. Cain decided he'd live life on his own way. He would make his own decisions. Cain decided he'd have a relationship with God on his own terms. Bad decision. Now, before you're too hard on Cain, Cain pictures all of us. I'll make my own decisions. I'll decide when I'm going to go to church and when I'm too tired and I don't want to go to church. I'll decide how often I go. I'll decide if I want to give any money or if I ain't giving any money this week. I don't like the sermons. I'm not going to give any money this week. I'm going to do God on my terms. Now, let's look at this. Cain comes to church. Cain honors God. Cain acknowledges the Lord. But it's on his terms. See, Cain picks what part of God's word he wants to do. Bad decision. Bad decision. Now, let's look at this. Follow me in the Bible. Verse 3 and 4. Abel did the right thing. Cain did the wrong thing. Now, look at this. Verse 5 and 6. Cain's very angry. Well, what? He made a bad decision. Now, he's not angry. The Bible said he's very angry. You know, we see this all the time. We see it all the time. People do dumb things. They make a bad decision, and then they get mad. You watch it in school every day. The kid does something wrong, and then they're mad at the teacher. They're mad at the school. I mean, somebody broke the law, and they're mad at the government. You broke the law by doing what you did, and now you're mad at the president for enforcing the law. I mean, you're mad at your boss. You're mad at the police. You're mad at your parents. You're mad at church. I mean, Cain is mad. Come on, mad. Let me ask you, who's Cain angry with? Who's he mad at? But this is the culture that we're in today. This is where this generation is. You broke the law, and now you're mad at the police and the way they handled it. This whole thing started with you breaking the law. Now you're mad at the president. I want us to look at this. The kid does wrong. So the parents, they're forced to have to discipline, to have to teach. They're forced to have to do something. Kid goes to the room and is mad and hates his parents. You see it all the time in school. A student breaks the rule, does wrong. The teacher is forced to deal with this issue. Now we got the kid mad and we got the parents mad. Mad at the teacher. Mad at the principal. The principal wasn't even there. But the whole thing won't all work if the principal doesn't back the teacher. So the principal has to back the teacher, so we're mad at the principal. Now we're mad at the whole school, everybody down there. I hate everybody down there at that school. Now we're going to quit school. Whoa, 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 whoa. We wouldn't even be here if the kid hadn't have done wrong to begin with. That's where we are in this generation. It's unbelievable as I watch the nightly news. The only reason the police are called is because some thug is hurting somebody or beating up somebody or robbing somebody or threatening someone. That's the only reason the police are called down. I don't know of a single incident of police brutality where a police was driving down the road, saw a man up on a scaffold painting, getting a paycheck and paying his taxes and making a living, and he rolled his window down and just shot him off the scaffold. I don't know of a single case of police brutality. Well, why was the police even down there having to deal with this thug? 3 a.m. in the backyard of somebody's house with a black hoodie on, and a homeowner shoots him. My baby didn't hurt anybody, the mama says. 3 a.m. in the backyard with a hoodie on? Homeowner shot somebody who was where they were not supposed to be, doing something they were not supposed to be doing. The police called only because somebody is doing something they're not supposed to be doing. And now we're going to put the mama on TV. He's only 17. Wasn't no reason to shoot my baby. If you're in my backyard at 3 a.m. with a hoodie on and my wife and children are in the house, I'm going to put your mama on TV. Now, Here's verse 4 and 5. Abel did the right thing, and Cain does the wrong thing. And instead of Cain saying, "That was stupid of me. I am so sorry for that. I don't even know what I was thinking. Just all I can say is, please forgive me. That won't happen again." No, 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 no. Cain is very, look at verse 5. Cain is very angry. "I could go on all day long. An employee doesn't do the right thing, called in and made the boss fire him. Now they're mad at the boss, mad at the whole company. The boss didn't want to fire you. The boss needed you. That's why they hired you." Verse 6. The Lord asked Cain, "Why do you look so dejected?" Here's my new favorite verse in the whole Bible. Verse 7. I want everybody to look at this. "You will be accepted if you'll do what's right." Hey, Cain blew it. He did something very dumb. It's not what he should have done. He knows it. Everybody knows it. I want you to look at God's reaction to you sinning. God's reaction to you blowing it. God's reaction to what you're doing. I want you to look at God. This is God's reaction. Verse 6. Why are you so upset? Verse 7. God said, "All is okay. You'll be accepted. There's no hard feelings here. Let's just go and do what's right. Just go and do what's right." Church, it's not our mistakes. It's not our dumb decisions. It's not our blowing it. The title of today's message is, "Don't go from bad to worse." It's not you blowing it, because we all do. It's not the fact that you sinned. You did wrong. That's not what's costing you. It's your continual response to your wrong decision. Now you're on Facebook bragging about it, lobbying for everybody to support you. You made a bad pass. That was a stupid pass. You threw it right to the other team. Just go play defense. That's all you need to do. But no, no, no. You're going to foul. Now they're shooting free throws. Now you're one foul closer to fouling out. See, my point is, we all blow it. But we've got to stop this cycle of going from bad to worse. Verse 7, respond the right way to your mistakes. Read on, verse 7. If you refuse to respond correctly, watch out. Verse 7, if you refuse to respond correctly, watch out. I want you to get this. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. And there's where a lot of America is today. It's not your mistake. It's your response to your bad decision. You're going in your life, and maybe you don't see this right now, but you are going from bad to worse to worser, and to a whole lot worser. What I'm telling you is, this cycle has got to be broken. Teenager, you made a mistake. You blew it. You did wrong. Now, your parents forced to have to figure out how to teach you, how to deal with you. You're too big to whip. I mean, we can't ground you and take away your car. You got to go to school. I mean, how are we going to discipline you? You put your parents in a real pickle here. Your parents are not mean. They don't hate you. They're not against you. Teenagers, a very simple, "I'm sorry, I was wrong, and I'll do better. I should have never been there to begin with," and it's over. This butting heads and friction and a downward spiral in a teenager relationship with their parents, and we get to the place we're not even talking, and we get to the place where they hate each other. It just unravels. You don't have to go in your life from bad to worse. I'm going to hand it to you. The police may have handled it wrong. In my life, I found out 2020 is always perfect on the hindsight. After it's over and I sit down with a cup of coffee and I don't have somebody pointing a gun at my face, I can figure out maybe a little clearer how I should have handled that. Surely, clearly, the police probably handled it wrong, but had you not been speeding, had you not been robbing, had you not been in the backyard at 3 a.m. in the morning, had you not been where, had you dropped the gun when they said, stop running, drop the gun, raised up your hands, laid on the ground, they would have never shot you. Now, teacher's having a good day. Students, listen to me. The only reason a teacher teaches is because they love kids. They don't teach because it's a good job. It's a terrible job. They don't teach because of the money, because you can do about anything to make more than a teacher makes. They don't do it because it is convenient, because it's not convenient at all. You don't get off. When you're off, then you're still on grading papers. There's nothing good about being a teacher except they love kids. Teacher hates me. The teacher does not hate kids, or they wouldn't be doing that. If you hadn't have been doing what you were doing, then you wouldn't have had the teacher stop loving kids and have to deal with your sorry self. Now, I'm going to hand it to you. The teacher in the heat of the moment may have handled it wrong, but let's go back to the whole reason we're in this problem is you broke the law coming here. The whole reason we're in this problem is you broke the law to begin with. The point is, you'll never have to handle anything wrong if you wouldn't mess it up. The right response is, I'm sorry, I'll do better. But no, you're mad. Now you're going to get the parents mad. Now the parents are mad at the teacher, the principal at the school. Now you're kicked out of school. Or the parents jerk you up and jerk you out of school. I'm not going down there. All this is because a wrong was done. All this is because of a wrong response over a wrong that was done. Genesis 4, Cain blew it. Cain gets mad. God said, why are you so jerked up? Everything's going to be okay. Let's just go do this right. Verse 8. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. While they were out in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Wrong response, wouldn't you say? Everything's going to be okay. Look, you didn't bring the right sacrifice. We're good. Just next time do it right. Your answer is, I'm sorry, I'll do it right from now on, and we're good to go. But no, let's get our brother out in the field, and now let's attack him and kill him. Okay, verse 9. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, where's your brother? Well, I don't know. Let's lie to God. If bringing a carrot when we should have brought a lamb wasn't bad enough, then let's go kill our brother. That's not bad enough. Then let me just bald-faced lie to God. Let's just go from bad to really worser. Verse 10. Lord said, what have you done? Now, verse 11, you are cursed and banished from the ground which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on earth. And here is where too many people are living. No matter how hard they work, life don't work for you. And I'm telling you, when you are living in sin, when you are doing wrong, life's not going to work for you. It's just going to be one heartache to the next, and the ground won't ever produce a blessed life for you to live in. Verse 12, no matter how hard you work, life will not be good for you. The title of today's message is, don't go from bad to worse. We all do bad. We all mess up. We all do something we shouldn't have done on a daily basis. Let's just don't go from bad to worse. I want to stop this cycle in people's lives. Young people, verse 7, you will be accepted if you'll respond correctly. Young people, all of our teenagers in here, your response to your parents, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'll do better, help me be a better person. And no matter what you've done, it's over. It's over right then and right there. All of us mess up. All of us have really blown it. Let's stop and respond the right way. The fact is, repentance is the very foundation of the gospel message. Not repent, meaning you're mad you got caught. Not blaming somebody else. Repentance is the right response when you sin. Husbands, your wife says to you, I don't like it when you do so and so and such and such. Husbands, your right response is, I'm sorry. If that bothers you, I'll never do that again. Wrong response. You get mad, and so you start in on what she does that bothers you. And now here we go from bad to worse to a whole lot worser. And now we've gone 2 weeks and we haven't even spoken to each other, and we're pouting and we're mad and we're futzing and we're fighting and we're arguing over what? I don't even remember what. We just have gone from bad to worse. Things happen each and every day. Quit going from bad to worse. In your marriage, let's stop this cycle. Husbands, you got to stop this. I want to be equal opportunists. Let me talk to the wives. Wives and mothers, when your husbands, when your kid, when the dog doesn't do to suit you, let's stop your traditional ranting and tirades and emotional outburst and your on and on raving. Oh, y'all ever do? Nobody ever, oh, this house and not. We don't want to hear none of that. But your tone of voice and all that you're doing, we don't want to hear all that. And if you'd ever stop for 1 minute and think about it, that had never produced anything. It doesn't produce anything in your life. Now you've just gone from bad to worse. Now you got the dog biting everybody. Peace will come in your home and your family when you respond to bad things correctly. Chapter 4, verse 7, Cain blew it. God's response is, no problem. Let's go from here and let's do what's right. John 8, woman caught in adultery, Jesus told her the same thing. Oh, there's no problem here. Let's just get up from here and let's go do the right thing. Fact is, the foundation of the gospel message, Matthew 3, 2, Jesus says, repent of your sins. Matthew 4, 17, Jesus preached, repent of your sins. Acts 2, 38, Peter preached, repent of your sins. Acts 17, 30, Paul preached, return to God and repent of your sin. John, in Revelation, called people to repent. Verse 9, the Lord asked Cain, where's your brother? Like God didn't know. Look in verse 9, where's your brother? Like God didn't know where he is. It's very interesting to me, if you go back one chapter, chapter 3, verse 9. It's interesting that they're both verse 9s. Chapter 3, verse 9, God's calling to Adam and Eve, Adam, where are you? Like God is losing at hide and seek? I mean, what's happening here? God doesn't know where they are? Verse 9, chapter 3, Adam, where are you? Verse 9, chapter 4, hey, where's your brother? Like God doesn't know, church, God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly what you've done. It's just vital that Adam knows where he is, that Cain knows what he's done. We got to confess our wrong. And for you to get angry at others because of your wrong, you're not having the right response in your life. Genesis to Revelation, the Bible calls people to repent. Church, sin doesn't get us. It's our continual unrepented sin that gets you. It's not the sin. It's you continuing in unrepentance and continuing in your sin. You're just going from bad to worse. Today, I want you to know, no matter what you've done, no matter what you have done in your life, God is calling you and I to repent, so that all may go well with us. Chapter 4, verse 7. If you refuse, and here's what I want you to get, sin is eager to control you. Young people, sin is eager to control you. Don't start in your life going from bad to worse, because sin is eager to control your whole life. To control your whole life. Just repent. Look at the progression of events. Husbands, don't lie. Then don't argue. Then don't get mad. I'm sorry, I ask you to forgive me. That's it. Teenager, you did wrong. Now don't lie about it. Now don't get mad about it. Now don't argue about it. I'm sorry, I did wrong. I ask you to forgive me. Moms, dads, employees, employers, with your neighbor, with your friend. I blew that. I'm sorry. I'll do better next time. Our lesson today, verse 3, bad decision. Verse 8, killed Abel, worst decision. Verse 9, lied to God, worst decision. Verse 11 and 12, banished from a blessed life. Don't live here. Don't live there. You're just going from bad to worse. Your business decisions are just bad to worse. Your money handling is just bad to worse. Your lifestyle, you've got a downward cycle here, and you've got to stop this downward cycle of just bad to worse, because you're getting yourself to a place where you're banished from a blessed life. You know, anytime we read in the Bible a bad decision, when it's followed by a right response, people are forgiven and blessed. Every single time. God forgives and blesses every single time there's a right response of repentance. Let's put ourselves in a position to live blessed and not put ourselves in a position to be banished from a blessed life. Right where you are today, let's bow your head. Father God, today we as a church, we come before you, Lord, and we say, we're sorry for our sin. We're sorry for the things we've done wrong. We ask your forgiveness. Lord, we're sorry for getting mad at other people. We're sorry for blaming other people. We're sorry for being dejected. Lord, we're the one that blew it. We're the one that did wrong here. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness. And from this point forward, we walk out of here going to do the right thing. Lord, help us, guide us, and direct us as we repent of our sins and we do the right thing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.